about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You guys have a good time here. I mean, it's got to be still fun for you. You wouldn't do it, huh? I mean, is it fun to come in here every morning at 6 o'clock and do this?
When I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, after I finish throwing up, I always say, thank God.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Listening to the Rodney and the Rock Show. We heard a band called Dollar doing I Saw Her Standing There. Then we heard the Tubes doing,
what?
Called Levelers. No, they're called, anyway, floating along here. I've got something I was going to play for you. And
that is fascinating.
And now,
I can't wait to meet Kevin. I assume he's the fun one in the relationship.
I'm not sure you and Kevin will get along.
Really?
Our feature presentation.
I feel like I'm, I don't know, 2 years away from Rodney.
No.
Being able to not get any facts straight, right? Or read. I mean, I might have a little more energy, but that's me, isn't it?
I think energy's the difference.
Okay.
And that's important.
I think so, too. So you could be just as wrong, but if you have energy.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm glad to hear it.
He's on the radio in Los Angeles.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. He has a show.
Yeah.
They gave him a show.
Yep.
God bless him.
Hey, Allie, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Bean.
We missed you.
I don't believe that.
It's true.
I mean, thanks.
I texted Allie yesterday. I said, Allie, what did I say?
Dead
or alive.
Dead
I'm
or alive.
Fine either way, but just checking.
Yeah. And then I didn't respond.
And then she didn't respond.
Nice.
And then I thought, now it's not so funny. Now it's going to look bad in the transcript.
Right, when people look at my phone when I'm dead.
Right, and then I'm somehow a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then you texted back that you felt like poop.
Yeah.
So, better today?
Yeah, I'm glad this is on
I'd like
air.
To not delve too far into this one.
The energy thing, I think I'm lacking a little, but I've got some caffeine. I'm going to be good.
All right. Okay.
Woo.
All right. How about
Monkey,
the poo
how
thing
are you?
Under control?
There's not a poo issue.
She didn't say there was a poo
felt
thing.
Like
I'm just saying.
Poo.
Oh, well.
This is fun.
Right.
I'm good. Thank you, B.
All right.
How are you?
Doing fine. Very very inspired by the president's speech last night. I enjoyed
Same.
It so much. And Vice President Biden's speech last night, I enjoyed.
Oh,
I'm going to miss Joe.
He's kind of a gem. He's just
really
a treat.
He really is. Just a gem just
and
a
treat
good dude.
Are not words for a good dude.
He really is such a good guy.
Yeah.
Oh, and he points. I like that.
I'm going to be sorry when this show is canceled. I've really enjoyed it. It's a limited miniseries, though, that just ends tonight.
Hey, here's a story to get us started before we get into today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, which is, I think, is going to be an entertaining show. This is Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I have been there, actually. This is a restaurant there called the Wasabi Japanese Steakhouse. It's a hibachi restaurant. And one of the features that they have, it's a family restaurant, and they try to give you an entertaining experience when you're there. And one of the things that they do is they have a little what they call pee-pee dolls. You know what these are?
No.
No.
Not pupy dolls, but pee pee dolls is what they're called.
Do we want to know what those are?
You do.
Okay.
They're basically just a little toy, a little plastic kid. And the hibachi chefs, when they need to put out a little fire spot on the grill or whatnot, they press a button and water shoots out of the little kid right in his out of his shorts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his pants go down and then right out of his plastic, you know. Abdomen.
Are you positive this isn't a sex doll?
Yes, I'm positive.
Okay.
It doesn't have a penis at all. Okay?
Okay,
it's just a little toy. You press a button and water comes out of it. And apparently the kids love it. Apparently it's very entertaining for the kids. Sometimes they spritz the kids with it and everybody has a good time. Well, nope, nothing sexy about it at all. Not at all.
Not at all. Okay.
So this couple comes in, a husband and wife are visiting from Texas, and they say that the chef's dinner time entertainment went too far, and they are accusing the Murfreesboro hibachi chef of sexual assault because they spritzed the lady with the pee-pee doll. Her name is Isabel Lassiter. He pulled his little shorts down, and it had a wanger, and it squirted me right in the face, is what she says.
Oh, dear.
Johnny Huang, the owner and general manager of the Wasabi Japanese Steakhouse, said, no, that's not how we do it. The toy doesn't have anything down there. There's nothing. She's claiming sexual assault, by the way. Her husband backs her up. He called the police.
Sexual assault?
Yes. He called the police and said to do that to somebody's mother while they're sitting at the table. He asked for a refund, and he called the police. The police showed up, by the way, and they declined to arrest anyone.
You know what? We're all good here. We're going to go tackle some real crime.
Oh, we needed Ian with his citizen's arrest.
Right?
That's what needed to happen here. Where was Batman? Customer who was in the restaurant at the time said, look, it's not like he took the lady in the back and molested her. It was just funny. The owner of the restaurant says a lot of little kids walk in and say, do you have the pee-pee boy? Do you have the pee-pee boy? That's the first thing they always ask.
I'm troubled every time you use the word pee-pee.
That's what they call
well,
it
now
in this
more so
story.
With pee-pee boy.
I know, but that's what they call it
in
this
story. It
just
sounds like once you're five, you stop saying pee-pee.
Look, I'm just reading the story.
Okay.
Anyway, so the man called the police and said, charge this guy with sexual assault for spritzing my wife with water. Officer declined to file a police report. Nobody at the Wasabi left in handcuffs, and the little guy is still doing what he does best. Mr. Huang says we call it the fireman.
I'm
the
sorry,
fireman
Mr.
is coming.
Mr. Huang or Wong?
Well, it's you
That's
tell me.
That's a great
it's,
question.
It's H-U-A-N-G. Which would it be? I said Wong the first time, but maybe it's Wang. I don't know.
I'd like to think it's Wang because it fits in with the story.
Yeah.
The owner says, however, he did nothing wrong, but from now on, the pee-pee boy is only going to make appearances by request only. So it will not be a surprise anymore for patrons.
And now pee-pee boy's ruined.
Yeah, she's ruined pee-pee boy for all of us.
See, this is why we can't have nice things.
Right?
Right? Is because one person has to ruin it for everybody else. So anyway, I'm glad no one ended up in the big house for this because it seems pretty innocent to me.
It would have been horrible for him in jail. What did you do? Well, I had a pee-pee doll.
Have you heard of the pee-pee
It's not what you're thinking. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
We simply cannot let that happen as Americans.
Ooh. Wow. Dr. Drew is going to talk to us about getting addicted to Pokemon Go.
It's happening. It's a thing.
It's happening and it's a thing. And people are getting hurt and in some cases, I hope, killed. I'd like to see
Give
that happen.
Give me a break. That's a bunch of malarkey.
Yes, Joe.
Bernie Sanders supporters.
Mm-hmm.
The Bernie Bros.
What's up on today's show? What's up with you?
Well, kind of an offshoot of the Bernie Sanders supporters, the Bernie or bust.
Yeah.
People.
Mm-hmm. Jim Rome talks sports, like we do on Thursdays. Have a brand new internet roundup. Carson Daly was at the Democratic National Convention. We're going to talk to him.
Wow.
And we have tickets for you. This is the trip for two to New York to see 21 Pilots at Madison Square Garden, August 11th. And we're going to do it today in the 7 o'clock hour. You have to write a haiku.
Oh, no.
Yep. About Suicide Squad. Because Suicide Squad, the movie, is sending these people to New York City because 21 Pilots has a song on the soundtrack.
Sure.
And so that's what we're going to look for in the 7 o'clock hour. So you might want to get started on your haiku.
And what's a haiku?
757.
575?
575.
Okay.
575 what, Kevin?
Syllables, Bean.
Great.
Okay.
Suck it. No, when Allie asked what's a haiku, 575 is not an explanation for somebody listening who doesn't know what it is.
Oh, okay.
You need context. It's a poem, basically.
It's a poem.
That doesn't have to rhyme, but has five syllables in the first line, seven in the second, and five in the third.
Right. So you have to write that about Suicide Squad. And then we're going to talk to a bunch of people and hear their haikus, and we'll pick one that goes to New York City. So that's coming up today as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
And what's a haiku?
757.
575?
575.
Okay.
All right.
I mean.
You know.
You were
right?
close.
I had the numbers right.
You did.
Right?
You did.
I had the fives
with
and the
confidence.
Sevens.
Oh, yeah. Nothing better than being really wrong with confidence. 757.
I'm going to show you.
Maybe that's why I love the Armenian comedian. He's my people.
I could have the 815.
All right. What time? I'm sorry. What time are we doing? Looking for the haikus for the
715.
7:15, okay.
Yes, or 5:17. I'm not positive.
Write your haikus about the Suicide Squad if you want a shot at that trip to New York City to see 21 Pilots. It's 5:55 Thursday morning. That's our friend Ralph Garman in for the Showbiz Beat.
Is this a good idea? to let John Hinckley, would-be assassin of President Ronald Reagan, out? Does anyone think this is a good idea?
No. He's up for bail and they're going to let him out?
Well, it's not really up for bail.
Oh.
He's been in a mental hospital for 35 years, Kevin.
All right.
Shut up, Ralph.
You know bail is what you get when you get arrested to keep you around for trial, right?
Sure, of course I know that. Yeah.
Well, 1981 is when this happened. So anyway, anything having to do with bail, I think.
You cannot get that money together.
That ship has sailed. The whole bail question.
The trial is taking a long time.
Really, it's not.
All right.
It's been done for some time, and he's been serving his sentence in a psychiatric hospital for all these years.
Now, Donald Trump was talking about a guy who shot Reagan named David Hinckley yesterday.
Right.
Is this the same guy?
It's his brother.
Yes.
This is the same dude, John.
Okay. John is the actual name.
Yes. Okay.
With all respect to President Trump.
Okay.
It's just not the case. And nor did Tim Kaine ever serve as governor of New Jersey, by the way.
Right. That's what I understand.
Donald needs to know that as well. 35 years in a psychiatric hospital. They're releasing him now because a judge says he doesn't feel he's any longer a threat to himself or others.
Look,
let's not find out the wrong way.
Should you stay in jail for the rest of your life for attempted murder? That's the question.
That just means you're not good at murder, so yes.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to see him try to get it right.
Right.
But there are lots of people who tried to kill someone who 35 years later they're allowed out. I mean, I don't know that needs to be a life sentence.
Yeah, but it's circumstantial, of course, like anything. You need
context.
But I think
it's circumstantial because it's a high profile.
A guy got in a bar fight and he tried to kill a dude because he was fired up and angry because the guy slept with his wife or something. That series of circumstances are unlikely to align again.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a guy who thinks Jodie Foster's in love with him, and he's reading Catcher in the Rye, and he thinks he's going to prove his love for a woman who doesn't know he exists by taking out the president. That kind of fictional thinking, that fantasy world, is easily replicated should the guy have a bad day.
You think so? In other words, wait till he sees Selena Gomez on TV.
Right.
Boom, and when he wants starts to, all over again.
When he wants to try to impress her, who's up next?
Yeah.
Just makes me a little nervous. That's all I'm saying.
You'd rather err on the side of caution.
Right. Right.
Do you get better in a mental hospital, you think?
Well, some people do.
People that are there 35 years?
Look, I know mental illness is a real thing.
Agreed.
And it's a real disease, and it shouldn't be stigmatized. And I think that people should be allowed to get well and then come back into society. However, if there's a genuine danger of physical violence, I think you have to err on the side of society. You have to
Ralph?
Obligated to protect society.
I'm no expert on this subject, but haven't they for many, many years been giving him weekend passes to go home, stay with his mom?
He has been getting some time out.
Supervised visits and whatnot.
Right. They are releasing him to go live with his mother.
How old's his mom?
That's what I was
thinking. Good question.
And what happens when then it's the Bates Motel, right?
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he's got to carry a cell phone that tracks his movements, and they're requiring that he works or volunteers at least 3 days a week, and he can't leave more than 30 miles outside of his home in Williamsburg, Virginia. So they are setting up some parameters to monitor him. And I hope, it's probably fine. But I just, just doesn't sit well with me.
Right.
And, you know, everyone talks, well, he didn't kill Reagan, but how about James Brady? Remember James Brady?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Press secretary?
Who? And suspended 4 games.
No, that's different Brady.
Tom Brady.
What?
Tom.
I see.
Both very unjust.
Suffered permanent brain damage because of his gunshot wound to the head. And it's just, look, I know it was very high profile and it's historic and it evokes a visceral reaction when you hear this story again because he seemed like such a psychopath, and maybe he's fine.
I feel like trying to kill the president is different than trying to kill anyone else.
Because it shows a level of dysfunction, of mental capacity for violence that is almost above and beyond.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want to see a Joe Blow on the street take it either. You know?
Agreed.
But if you have those delusions of grandeur in terms of you're going to kill the president to impress Jodie Foster because you two deserve to be together, that level of disconnect from society for me is concerning.
Yeah.
But maybe he's fine. So we're going to send him to Bean's place. Bean's going to foster him for a while.
Oh, that's
gonna,
great.
They're going to hang out.
Bean, that's cool of you.
We set that up. We think it's really good of you, Bean. You're a good man.
You're a good dude.
Nice guy.
I'm having Squeaky Fromm over this weekend anyway, so why the hell not?
Bean just has parties for all the loons.
Squeaky Fromm. Who had that in their...
That was a great poll today. She tried to kill Gerald Ford.
That was sweet.
Come on.
We're on topic.
They're rebooting Charlie's Angels, right?
Did they already do that in a couple of movies?
Of course, Bean, but that was years ago.
Right.
I hope it's not with dudes and it ruins my childhood.
That'd be great. Oh. Charlene's Devils.
Is this a TV show?
No, it's going to be a feature film,
Kevin.
All
right.
It'll be directed by Elizabeth Banks, who apparently is the only woman they let direct anything anymore. She did Picture Perfect and her Picture... Picture Catcher, whatever the hell that was. And they're going to reboot it because, look, the last Charles Davis film was like 2003. It's so long ago. No one can see that anymore. Now we have to recreate it, so... No word on the cast yet, but we'll see. I bet they'll be pretty. Today's celebrity birthdays. Cain Velasquez from the UFC is 34 years old today. Jacoby Shaddix, Papa Roach singer, is 40 years old. Afro Man's 42. Afro Man.
In my room until I got high. I was going to get up and bind the broom, but then I got high.
La-da-ba-ba.
My room is still messed up. And I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La, da, da, da.
I love all his hits.
Hit.
He's 42. What?
He's 42?
He's 42.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he's also living with his mom in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Wow.
Who directed the Afro Man, Because I Got High music video? Quick, trivia.
Spike Lee.
Wrong. Incorrect. Move along. Elizabeth Banks. No, she wasn't directing that, I don't think. Anyone else? Anyone?
I got no clue.
Scorsese.
Yes.
Scorsese
directed it.
See, thank you.
Filmmaker Kevin Smith.
No kidding. Oh,
really?
Yes.
Wow. That's a great piece of trivia.
Thank you. Elizabeth Berkley is 44.
You could have said fun fact before that, and it would have been accurate for the first time in history.
A fun fact.
How did that happen? How did they even get together?
Because...
That's how.
This was actually pre-smoke days for Kevin back in the day. Because they used the Afro Man song in, I want to say, Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back.
Okay.
I want to say Kevin was using the song in the film, and as part of the fun, they decided to do a video for it, and Kevin directed it, and also appears in it along with Jason Mewes.
Cool.
A little something for you. Dana White, UFC president, 47 years old today, and actress Lori Loughlin. Becky! With the good hair. She's 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yesterday, we had the opportunity to talk to the Los Angeles Dodgers third baseman, Justin Turner. Great player. Seems like a real nice guy. And a lot of people are trying to blame us for the fact that the Dodgers lost yesterday. And
I'd just like to point... How'd he do, though, Bean? He must have done good.
Well, he was 0 for 3, if that's what you're asking.
Oh, okay.
Don't you feel like if Allie had been here to talk to him about the Muppets... that he probably would have been in a better mood and probably would have hit a lot of home runs yesterday.
Oh, so you're putting this on me.
Well, you're the one who wasn't here.
I'd like to suggest that that's just the natural way things were going to go, and we had no effect on it whatsoever.
Really?
Because
I feel like Allie could have saved a game. I feel like if the Dodgers end up missing the playoffs by one game, we're going to look back at yesterday, we're going to go, hey, thanks a lot, Blondie. Anyway, Dodgers have a great event happening for charity. With Fleetwood Mac performing, by the way, their only concert of 2016, tonight at Dodger Stadium. And we had him on yesterday to talk all about it and talk about this amazing Dodger season. We talked about it on yesterday's Kevin and Bean Show. The very surprising news to me that Miss Cleo was still alive. And B, that she had died at only 53 years old. I always figured she was much, much older than that. She was the TV psychic from back in the 90s and the early 2000s. Who was very popular. Do you remember her, Allie?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was actually
off the scene for a while.
Shocked yesterday when they said her age because she seemed that age when I was watching her.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
She was famous for being a TV psychic from Jamaica, right? She was Jamaican?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, she pretended to be. She was actually from Los Angeles. I think she went to high school in Alhambra and created this character of Miss Cleo and was very successful and made a ton of money. But you know what? just because she's gone and almost forgotten doesn't mean we can't still give her a call. So why don't we dial up the hotline to heaven here? Let's find out what Miss Cleo's been up to and how the transition to upstairs was for her.
Do we know if she's upstairs?
Well, we're hoping because we're down on the hotline to heaven, so I'm hoping that's where she answers.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, Miss Cleo.
How are you doing today?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm so glad. I'll answer all your questions. Call me now.
Okay, well, we did call you. Actually, we called you on the hotline to heaven. How are you enjoying heaven?
1-900-555-1067.
You don't need to do that anymore.
Long distance may apply.
Right.
You don't need only to... $4.99 per minute.
Well, I'm hoping we're not paying that. But listen, Miss Cleo, are you or are you not a psychic? Do you have any kind of psychic ability, or is that just a character you played on TV?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Well?
And I am a psychic, yes.
You are a psychic.
I can answer all your questions with the use of the tarot cards.
The tarot cards. And okay. You took those with you to heaven.
I did. Let me shuffle. Okay.
You ready?
Putting the cards out now.
All right.
Okay.
What question do you have for Miss Cleo?
Okay, I'll ask this. How long will the Kevin and Bean Show stay on K-Rock? Because there's a lot of talk about Musica, Musica, Musica coming soon.
Let's see. Let me flip this card. Oh, the first card that comes up is the bag of douches.
Oh, no. You don't want to see
Wait,
that.
That's a card?
Yes, it is.
How about that?
You know, the tarot cards, they have pictures on them, not
right.
numbers and suits like
right.
regular cards.
Okay, so...
I'm explaining because I think Kevin don't know what it is.
Okay. You are psychic if you know that much about Kevin, having never spoken with him before.
I don't think you need to see the future to know that.
All right, so the douchebag card, is that
no,
good news?
No, the bag of douches.
Bag of douches card, is that good news or bad news
it's
for us?
It's not good news
oh, no,
for
oh,
you.
It sounds great, Dean. The bag of douches.
I'm just saying. And perhaps you want to get your air checks together.
Okay.
All right.
All
right. That's hey, good can advice. I ask maybe about the election coming up?
Do oh, you... let me reshuffle the tarot cards.
Okay.
I put them on. What's your question, lady?
Who's going to be our new president come November?
I'm getting a message. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have here the hair of Nest.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, the hair of Nest.
Yes,
wow.
This hair of Nest cards means that it would be Donald Trump.
Donald Trump will be the president, says Miss Cleo. You heard it here first.
Absolutely. I see 100% he's going to be president for 5 days.
Oh, no. What's going to happen?
It gets blurry after that.
Oh, no.
I just see a lot of ash and something called nuclear winter.
Oh, man.
Wow. All right. Kevin, you get the last question, I guess.
Does
All right. Good way to close out the bit, boys. Oh, look. The bags of douche came up again.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
Speaking of that band right there, 21 Pilots, what if you wanted to go see them for free in New York City at Madison Square Garden? What about that?
New York City.
That would be great, Bean. Here's what we're doing. We're doing a contest in the next hour, and you need to make up a haiku about Suicide Squad. 21 Pilots has a song on the Suicide Squad soundtrack, and so you need to make up a haiku, and we're going to have a competition at 7:15 this morning where you tell us your haiku, and the best one will go to New York City.
So if you want to write it about, you know, about one of your favorite characters, about Deadshot or Harley Quinn or something like that, or just about the universe in which they live or anything else about the movie, it's not 21 Pilots, though. It's Suicide Squad. That's
right.
What we're looking for, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And again, Kevin, for those who don't know, if they've never written a haiku poem before, what's the formula?
And what's a haiku?
757.
575?
Okay. That's the tape from earlier this morning when Kevin tried to explain it to us.
Yeah, so good times.
Squad coup? Are we calling it squad coup?
Squad coup.
Oh, I like that.
I like
squad
it.
Coup.
Squad coup.
All right, so we'll be opening up the phones at around 7:15 for your squad coup, and someone will win a trip. Shoot, didn't roll off the tongue like I hoped it would. First, though, Ralph's got the show because being here on a Thursday. What's going on?
Oh, remember Thomas Dolby?
Yeah.
Sure. Science!
Sure,
Thomas Dolby.
Was that his only song?
Oh,
Blinded Me with Science?
He had a bunch of songs.
Oh, did
that
he?
Was probably his biggest hit.
Yeah,
Blinded Me with Science. Beep, beep, boop. She blinded me with science. Science!
Right.
She blinded me with science.
Beep, beep, boop.
She blinded me with science.
Fell into geometry.
Miss Yakamoto, you're beautiful. She's tied it up and I can't find anything.
Why do you bring them up?
Because he has written his memoir.
I'm sorry?
He's written his memoir, his autobiography, the story of his life. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing you're going to be interested to know, Kevin.
Yes.
It is called The Speed of Sound, Breaking Barriers Between Music and Technology. So yes, he was a musician, singer, songwriter in the 80s. But after he was done with his second album, he was dropped by his record label. So he went on to work with other stars, including David Bowie and Stevie Wonder, working on music with them. But then he left the UK, moved to Silicon Valley, where he started to work on sound and music software for computers and eventually websites, and became a billionaire.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He's been living in the lap of luxury for all these years. When people
wow.
were pointing and laughing and mocking, saying, one-hit wonder. He's like, oh, let me just wipe my ass with this $100 bill.
No kidding.
Yep. So the book is out on October 11th. Have you ever wondered what happened to Thomas Dolby and are surprised like I was that he became a giant technology mogul and a billionaire? It sounds like a story that would be interesting to read.
It does.
Maybe we can have him in on the show or talk to him about
that. I would
that.
Enjoy that. I think he's a college professor somewhere, too, if I remember correctly. I think he's doing some of that, too.
Yeah, Johns Hopkins, I believe.
Right. Does he comment in the book about the great Buzz Aldrin's version of his song?
She blinded me with science.
Wow.
You're missing out the best part of that, though, however.
The part where he... Do you have the second part?
Science?
I don't. That's all I have.
Science! Silence!
Silence!
He says, by the way.
No!
That's right. He says the wrong
yeah.
word.
It's called She blinded me with science and Buzz Aldrin. Silence!
Maybe he's just... It was too loud. He didn't like it.
Yeah, maybe he wanted to turn the music down, get off his their lawn.
That's science.
It is science. While we're talking about classic K-rock artist, Morrissey has booked some more tours. And that doesn't mean he's going to show up
right.
or play them, but he has booked them.
Well, you got to have something to cancel.
That's right.
You can't cancel shows if you don't make shows.
This is true. He is kicking off a world tour in Berlin, Germany on August 16th. And then Morrissey's got some U.S. dates that he's going to do in two different chunks. He's going to start at Riot Fest in Chicago on September 17th, then hit Louisville, Philly and Brooklyn before he heads to the Far East in Australia. Then he comes back to the U.S. for a date down in Irvine, California, November 9th. And then he'll wrap up the whole thing by canceling his show in El Paso, Texas on the 23rd of November. So get your tickets now so you can get your refunds early.
But and is it part of the problem with the Morrissey shows, like down at Irvine, for instance, is if they've got a poster on the wall for Farmer John's, he won't play there, right?
Right, yes. He's going to bring in meat-sniffing dogs, and if there's any scent of any sort of meat product, then he'll be walking away. I'm torn. I'm torn by this news, because you know how much I love the Bar Rescue.
Right.
Huge Bar Rescue fan.
Right.
Love to see John Taffer go in there and just F things up, just rattle people's cages and... What are you doing? Look at these glasses! He just goes off on them. It's the best. But Spike TV, that hosts Bar Rescue, has announced a late-night talk show for John Taffer.
Okay.
Now, details are scarce, but he will serve as an executive producer and also appear on camera, and he will be... The pilot has been greenlit for an untitled late-night talk show hosted by John Taffer.
He's got the right kind of personality.
He's
for
a talker, that's for sure. No word on what the angle's going to be, but... I guess I'll give it a shot. Right?
Silence!
You found it.
Silence!
he's the worst.
Silence!
Silence.
Did he punch somebody in the face for saying that they didn't go to the moon? Did that happen?
Oh, yeah.
The landing was fake.
That was fake.
Yeah. He's not a...
not well-adjusted?
Not well-adjusted.
That's one of my favorite stories of all time, because Mr. Aldrin was like 78 at the time or something. He just decked this guy.
Remember when we had him on the show? He was just radio death.
Oh,
I love Buzz Aldrin.
He's a goddamn American
right,
hero.
Right,
fine, but he was a terrible radio guest.
Keep him off the radio.
Right.
He's old.
Older. He was terrible. Say it.
Yeah. Well, he rambles a little bit.
Yeah. He was terrible.
No.
He wasn't the best guest we ever had.
And there's the moon. And then the moon had rocks on it.
And we took the rocks and we put them in a bag.
It's a lot like that.
We brought the bag back to the ship, and then we left left the moon, and we went back to Earth. Okay. And the Earth is mostly water. And we landed in the water, and then they took us out, and then they looked at the rocks. And then, where's my pudding?
And I'm Buzz.
I'm Buzz.
Oh, I forgot about that. Remember
Creepy Dancing with the Stars, yep. Buzz?
Oh. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm Ashley Costa.
And I'm Buzz.
Oh, God!
Today's celebrity birthdays. Cain Velasquez of the UFC is 34 years old today. Jacoby Shaddix, Papa Roach singer, is 40 years old. Didn't he used to be Kobe? Didn't he used to be Kobe
sure,
back
yes.
in the day?
He used to be Kobe.
When did that change? When I didn't get that memo. When did that memo go out?
It happened fairly early on after they became successful, I think.
Hmm.
He said he wanted to start going by his real name.
Wasn't he the one that punched a hole in the wall of the museum we were broadcasting from?
Museum of Television and Radio in New York, right?
I think that's right.
Actually punched a hole in the wall.
Yeah. Why?
Because the wall said the moon landing was fake.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Elizabeth Berkley from Saved by the Bell. And let's not ever forget Showgirls.
Sure.
44 years old today. Dana White. Speaking of the UFC, he's 47. Lori Loughlin. She was Becky on Full House. Still is. Because they're doing that Fuller House now. She's 52. And Afro Man.
I was going to clean my room until I got high. I was going to get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La da da.
42 years old today. Oh, I hope he saved his money. I'm afeared to go into a Domino's and see him back there.
He's not Thomas Dolby, is that what you're saying?
The pizza tracker. He might be. I don't know. I don't know his story. I could be very wrong. And I hope that I am. Happy birthday, Afro Man. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now, our friend Jim Rome joins us. We'll talk sports, including, by the way, talk that surprised me yesterday that the Los Angeles Clippers are wanting to build their own arena. They want to move out of Staples Center, have their own place. Does that
really
surprise you guys?
Yeah.
Yes. Staples Center's like 15 years old.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe they just don't like sharing it with a team that has won so much.
Yeah.
Well,
take a look
right
at those banners.
Right?
We'll find out. We'll talk to Jim. That's coming up. Also, Dr. Drew on the people who are obsessed with Pokemon Go. That's all straight ahead here on the Kevin Beach Show. First, though, I am fascinated by the human brain so much. The crazy things that the brain is capable of and the way it surprises you, and particularly when it comes to something called foreign accent syndrome. Have you guys heard about this?
Yes, it's the best. I want it.
You want
yeah,
it?
Yes.
I want it too. I think it's awesome.
You both want it.
Don't you have to have some kind of traumatic injury, though?
Sure, yes. You have to have a surgery and it's fine. You wake up.
Right. It's usually caused by brain damage from a stroke or a traumatic brain injury or a surgery. It has also been linked to multiple sclerosis and other health issues. No clear case has been pinpointed, but there is another case, this time in the United States, of a woman, a Hispanic woman, who lives in Texas, who had surgery recently for something to do with her jaw. She was correcting an overbite in her jaw, okay?
Okay.
Pretty standard surgery. You wouldn't expect anything surprising to happen as a result of that.
Right.
When she woke up, she speaks in a British accent.
Oh, lucky!
Is that what you would want to go with?
Yes, I'd want British. Yeah,
Dean,
for
what
sure
would you want to go with?
I think British is
British
the best
is
one,
yeah,
too. I think,
yeah.
So here's the CBS News report. Let's learn a little bit about this lady. And you won't believe this woman who's never been to England and now talks like this.
Of course they're going to want to hear my voice.
Don't let the Queen's tongue fool you.
Well, they always are asking me how my mom got that accent.
Lisa Alamia.
Oh, not from England, sorry.
Is 100% Texan.
People who don't know me, that hey, where are you from?
By the way, Allie, your Adele impression would be so good
thank
if you had
you
this accent.
It sure would.
Can we hear a little
of Rosenberg. Oh, where's that? I'm like, we're here in Rosenberg. Oh, you're from here. How'd you talk like that? So that's when the whole story comes up.
6 months ago, jaw surgery to fix an overbite changed Lisa's speech too.
I thought she was playing around with me. I thought she was joking with me, but then she showed me that, like, the doctor had told her she was diagnosed with foreign accent syndrome, and she searched it, and then I was like, oh, Lord.
Houston Methodist Sugarland Hospital says in the last 100 years, less than 100 people worldwide get this rare disorder known as foreign accent syndrome.
Think about that, by the way.
That's unbelievable. Crazy.
Fewer than 100 people in 100 years, and they don't know what it is that causes it. I mean, I don't think they could replicate it if they wanted to.
Do we know it's real with this woman?
That's a question, too.
With this woman, like, maybe
why would this woman wake up and fake it?
Maybe she's just crazy.
No, a lot of people think maybe that people are just nuts doing it for attention.
A lot of people think all of it is that?
All of it.
Oh, so there's not one real case. Oh.
This woman probably couldn't have faked this accent, though.
I'm not saying I believe that to be true.
I know I couldn't. I know I couldn't either.
Why would you even think that she would be faking, Kevin?
I don't know.
Okay.
Mom is probably the one word I noticed right away. Kitten. They think I'm talking about a baby cat, and I'm not. I'm saying I'm just kidding.
So she's talking about some of the words that she's having people are having trouble understanding because her accent from England is so thick.
Right.
I love it.
Although she's never been.
But it's kitten. I'm just kidding.
Lisa's neurologist, Dr. Toby Alto, put her through a battery of tests trying to answer the hows and whys, but they can't. So for months, Lisa stayed quiet, worried about skeptics.
I didn't know the reaction I was going to get from people. So I didn't know, are they going to judge me? Are they going to think I'm lying? Are they going to even understand how I'm speaking?
Thanks to some ribbing from her family and friends, Lisa is now more open than ever, even though her voice no longer intimidates her children.
There is no way you sound hood at all. Like, he goes, even if you try, you wouldn't be able to sound that way. My daughter laughs at the way I say tamales. So I used to be able to say it like a real Hispanic girl. Now I cannot.
One day, she hopes to regain her voice. Until then, she's learning to savor her accent.
Now, I'm wondering about that, too.
Why does she want it back?
I mean, I imagine you feel... It would be like if you woke up and looked in the mirror, Kevin, and a different face was looking back at you.
I've always wanted that.
In your case, you might be delighted. But I'm saying you would not feel authentic. You would not feel like it's really you. I can understand.
The majority of it is people asking where she's from, and then she says Texas, and they're like,
annoying.
What? And then she has to explain, oh, no, I woke up from a surgery. Why?
And then
why
they
would
say,
you want to
oh,
deal
please.
With that? Right.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, I'm sure they've kept track of the other people that have been diagnosed with the foreign accent syndrome throughout the years. I wonder if, is it a permanent stick? Could we find someone 10 years ago who had the surgery and still has that accent? Like, or does it eventually wear off? I don't know the answer to that.
I just know I want it.
You got to have it.
Do you want it permanently?
Permanently. I want it forever.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's hear a little bit of your British accent that you'd like. How would you like to sound, Ellie?
And then I'd like to hear Bean's British accent. How would he like to sound?
I think I'd like to sound a little bit like this.
So sort of Adele-ish. You love Adele so much.
I love her so much. Yeah. I sound like Adele. Adele.
You're good at that.
I'm real bad.
All right, Bean?
I don't have a British accent. I don't know how to do one.
You sound like C-3PO.
Wow, you do. You're a robot from a movie.
All right. Well, anyway, I'll keep my eyes peeled if we see any more from that lady out of Texas. Let's open up the phone lines right now. 1-800-520-1067. It's unbelievable to me that we are giving away trips to New York City every single day to go see 21 Pilots, but they are one of the best live bands in America today. They're playing Madison Square Garden on August the 11th. You can check them out on the Suicide Squad soundtrack. They have a song called Heathens from 21 Pilots on the soundtrack. And that's why we thought we would have you write a haiku or a squad cue, if you will.
A squad cue.
Right. About Suicide Squad. So that's what we're looking for right now.
Five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables. Mm-hmm. A poem. We're looking for that. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next.
All right, this is going to be fun. We've been telling you about it all day long. Now it's time to hear the squad coups. We're talking about Suicide Squad soundtrack, a trip for two to New York City to see 21 Pilots at Madison Square Garden on August 11th. Do we have a fancy intro for this?
Squad coup! Hey!
That's it. That's what you got.
Real good.
All right. We're still paying Omar, right? All right, so we want to hear...
Squad coup! Hey!
We want to hear your poem in the traditional Japanese art of haiku, and then I guess we'll just pick our favorite at the end, right?
Yes, and if we don't have a favorite, then we'll do a drawing.
Okay, right. Who's up first?
Let's start with Jeff in Garden Grove. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Doing great. Your haiku about Suicide Squad. We're very excited to hear what you're bringing us today.
Okay. The Suicide Squad, I'm going to New York. Batman locked them up.
I think that was 555.
Yeah, I think your syllables. Did you count your syllables on that? Because it didn't sound like that was right to me either.
Yeah, 575. The Suicide Squad, uh-huh. I'm going to New York. Batman locked them up.
That's 555.
No, I think he's right. Okay.
I'm going to New York.
You hang on. Hold on, Jeff.
I'm going to New York. I am?
All right. Okay. Let's go to Steven. in Palmdale. Hey, Steven.
Hey, what up, guys? How you guys doing?
We are good. Hey, before you do your haiku, what the hell is going on with the Sam fire? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Actually, I didn't go into work on Monday because some family members, they were in the Acton area. And they had to get evacuated from that area. So it was pretty bad, man.
Yeah, it's a very serious thing. And I hope when they say evacuate, people take it seriously and evacuate. I'm glad you're okay. All right, Steven, let's hear your haiku on Suicide Squad. Good luck, sir.
All right. So mine is, join Suicide Squad. We are the worst of the worst. Join Suicide Squad.
Okay. All right. You did smacks of laziness. Well, it's like a recruitment poster. He's just trying to drive the point home. All right. You hang on, Steven. Well done.
Smacks of laziness, Kevin.
Look, you only have 17 syllables. You got to repeat half of them? All right, Bill.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Squad Coup?
Hi, Bill.
All right, you ready?
All right, you ready for this?
Yep.
Free trip to New York. Y'all jokers must be crazy. Begging, please send me.
I like it. Allie, does it count? Does the count work out?
Oh, I like it. I can't be trusted.
Allie's using her fingers.
Jeff clearly was 575, and I still thought it was 6.
Yeah, right.
Five times.
He's in. So
okay, thank God.
In the draft.
All right.
Jeff,
Nice job, Bill. I mean, especially for a drifter, I'm very impressed that you would come out with
something like that. He's a drafter.
Usually guys like that. You know,
not a drifter.
It's a drafter.
Don't have a job or a home.
It says drafter.
Oh, it is drafter. I'm sorry. I didn't read that right. All right, who's next?
Next is Frank in Hacienda Heights. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good, thank you. You want to go to New York City to see Madison Square Garden and 21 Pilots?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. Love to hear it.
Harley Quinn can win. Ride or die, Suicide Squad, 21 Pilots.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
We are the worst.
Yes, that's correct. Well,
it's hard to count on the fly. It is.
All right. Frank is in. Thank you. Well done. It's all dudes calling for this today, by the way, which is curious.
Let's go to Mike and Whittier. Hi there.
Hey, what's up, party people?
We are doing Squad Coup. What do you think of the competition so far this morning? You've been listening on hold.
Pretty weak.
Okay.
A little background. I've been calling the Afro line, yelling at Ralph about playing these silly comic book games. But here we go.
Okay, that's a good start.
Here we go.
Wait, start again.
Okay, here we go. Silly games I play. Hipster I pretend to be. Garmin, what a nerd.
Okay, all right.
All right.
See, I think maybe, though, antagonizing people on the show.
I feel like maybe that's not a good strategy.
I mean, technically, you're still in the running.
Right.
Technically. Okay, I think we got time for maybe a couple more.
Let's go to Ben in Anaheim. Hi there.
Hi, how's it going?
Very good, thank you. You ready for your squad coup?
Yes, I am. We used to bear it. For you, we knock at the door. Suicide, we ride.
Ooh, I may not be smart enough to understand that one. It sounds awfully deep.
We used to what? Bear it?
We used to bear it.
What does that mean?
For you, we knock at the door. It's basically talking about death.
Oh.
And how they used to bring death, and then now they're actually knocking on death's
door.
Look at that.
Okay.
Wow.
Ben.
It's deep.
Okay.
All right.
Ben's too deep for all three of us.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be like me, guys?
It's not fun. I'll tell you that.
Not good.
Yeah, he got inside the characters there. That was good. All right.
Let's go to Andrew in Covina. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Squad Coup.
When bad meets evil, Harley Quinn, Slipknot, Deadshot. The Suicide Squad.
I feel like you lack sort of confidence there at the end.
Sort of a weak ending.
Yeah, I know.
Sort of petered out there.
I know. Said, oh,
all right.
True.
Hold on. All right. One more.
Okay. Let's go to Matt in Huntington Beach. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How long has it been since you've written a haiku?
Your whole life?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Didn't mean to stump you right out of the gate with a tough question, but okay.
I had a hard enough time writing the art haiku. So.
Okay. All right. Take it easy. Here we go. Squad coup. From Matt.
Batman wants Harley and the rest of the whole squad to lick his bat sack.
I feel like...
Well... Spoiler alert.
It was a haiku.
It was.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Well, it's going to be... I know Kevin's not going to vote for anyone else because he's the only one... Matt's the only guy who brought up the bat sack.
Look, I mean, really...
I think we can all tell where Kevin's at.
Okay.
I was very impressed with Ben.
Yeah, I was going to say those are my two favorites.
I liked Ben a lot, and I also liked, I think it was Bill, also impressed me very much with his, but I'm open. Who do you guys like?
I liked Ben, because it was deep into the Suicide Squad mystique, which I didn't know until it was explained to
and
me.
And Bean, he was one of your favorites, too?
Yes, I think Ben sounds like our man. No bat sack, though.
Right.
But still,
that's a bummer.
He sounds like a big Suicide Squad fan, and I think, Ben, you're going to have a great time. Round trip, airfare, hotel, and tickets for two to Madison Square Garden to see 21 Pilots on August 11th, thanks to the Suicide Squad soundtrack. Congratulations, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm excited.
Enjoy your time. Thanks for playing the game.
Squad crew, hey!
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:36.
Were we on the air and Kevin didn't know?
Yes. No what idea. Didn't even have the headphones on. Was chatting.
My bad. I'll take that one.
That was Dave's
bad. I kind of distracted him.
That's right. Dave was distracting me.
Really?
That's on Dave.
Okay.
Yep. We talked sports with Jim Rome coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. Dr. Drew at 9. And keep listening for more passes for the Suicide Squad screening from K-Rock. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Wake up. And watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. Our producer, Dave, the King of Mexico, in studio with us. I think this is a particularly entertaining batch of videos, Dave. What do you think?
Very funny. All of them are really, really funny.
Yeah, it's a good batch. Our friend Mike Realm is back. He's been gone for a minute. He's the guy who does all these video remixes, and this time he took on Deadpool. And it just makes me want to see the movie again. Check it out.
Jimmy Chongas.
You know where he's been, Allie? You're going to be so impressed. He's been out on tour with The Far Side. That's what Mike Rum has been doing.
Man.
So that's what's kept him away from his YouTube channel.
Yeah, he keeps passing me by.
I see what you did. Don't do it again.
Steve-O is back, and I think we may need to get Steve on the phone to talk about this brilliant idea he had. He doesn't call it this in the video. I'll call them booby trick shots.
Right.
He basically has a friend with enormous breasts and a low-cut shirt on, and he is throwing a ping-pong ball all over his apartment and just waiting until it bounces into her cleavage. And listen to the joy when he makes a shot.
Yeah, dude. Now it's time for... trick shots.
He's so happy. Yeah. You know, he came up with this whole idea just to get this chick over to his apartment.
Yeah,
right?
It's one of those big, it's a little bouncy
ball. It's a Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
Super Bowl.
And Steve-O will be in studio next Wednesday.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah,
that's great.
Like, he literally bounces one downstairs and it lands in her cleavage.
Bounces it downstairs, it lands upstairs.
Right.
Yeah. The cast of The Walking Dead are pretty well known for playing pranks on one another. In particular, Norman Reedus and Andrew Lincoln like to go at each other. So Norman Reedus, who plays Daryl on the show, had this great idea that he was going to load up the air conditioner in Andrew Lincoln, who plays Rick's car, with glitter. So Andrew Lincoln turns on the air and glitter just blasts out of the dash of his car all over him. And Norman Reedus was there to film it.
You're still going, dude. How much did you put in here?
So much in there. Have a nice ride home in the heat, bro.
I'm sweating.
So then they're on stage with a lot of other cast members at Comic-Con, and Chris Hardwick is moderating the panel, and Andrew Lincoln is telling the story about how he got glitter bombed, and then he decides right there on the stage he's going to throw a whole bunch of glitter at Norman Reedus, most of which blows back right into his own face and all in his own beard. It didn't go the way he was hoping.
This is the end.
It's in your beard. That came out of backfire form.
You look like a crazy prospect.
That didn't go quite the way I wanted it.
You got to watch that video. It's so funny. And isn't it so weird to hear Andrew Lincoln not sounding like an American?
Yes.
Speaking with his native accent. Game of Thrones is back with a season six blooper reel. And I could really appreciate how much trouble Peter Dinklage had saying one particular word, because this has happened to me a lot of times where for whatever reason, you just can't get that word out right. And he just cracks up every time.
Can you little birds get a message to the good masters of Astapor, the wise masters of Yonkai, and the benevolent, and the benevolent, and the benevolent, and the benevolent, and the benevolent. Me, benevolent. Ah, it sucks.
James Corden is back with his carpool karaoke. This time he had the First Lady herself, Michelle Obama. Did you guys get the impression that they weren't allowed to leave the grounds of the White House?
Yes, they were just driving. Kept circling. They were driving around in a circle around the White House.
Like 40 times,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, in addition to singing Beyonce songs and Missy Elliott songs and a bunch, it was a really, really fun video. James Corden did ask what everybody asked, which is, hey, what are you going to take from the White House when you and your husband leave in January? Because, you know, you got to steal something from the White House, right? Here's her answer.
Mm-hmm. And what are you going to accidentally slip in your bag? You know what I mean? Like... Because I've only been here, like, 5 minutes, and I've got my eye on a couple of bits. I've got my eye on a couple of bits. Okay, I'm not going to lie. It's just a couple of things.
Don't steal anything.
I'm not going to steal it. I'm going to forget that it was in my pocket. I'm not stealing it. That is a very different thing.
Okay.
Very funny. Jason Bourne is back in theaters this Friday. Matt Damon has a very helpful primer for those who don't remember the original three movies. This is called Bourne in 90 Seconds.
So I have to go back to Paris, get in a shootout, jump down a stairwell, and limp away. Brian Cox has Chris Cooper killed, and I wind up at a beachfront scooter shop with Marie, happily ever after. Only then, 2 years later, we're hiding out in India when this Russian shit frames me for murder and kills Marie. I'm super pissed.
Very cool. Speaking of Matt Damon, you know his old friend Jimmy Kimmel. They've been having some problems lately.
Sure.
Jimmy always tries to make time to get Matt on his late-night show, but he runs out of time. It's not his fault. But they've been fighting, and they are back in couples counseling this time. And the therapist in this case asked them to draw pictures of each other. Maybe this would be a good way to open up conversation about how they see one another. And wait till you see what Matt drew, his idea of what Jimmy looks like.
This is my rendition of this show and its host. This is Jimmy Kimmel Live. And that's an ass face.
That's an ass face?
An ass face. That's supposed to be an ass.
Yes, okay.
And that's how I feel about Jimmy and his show. An ass face.
It's an ass face, is what it is.
That's a very funny video. When Jimmy sits down, he builds a wall between them of pillows.
Sure. Also on Jimmy Kimmel Live, he said to Chris Harrison, hey, you're being too nice to these guys that you're sending home on The Bachelorette. Maybe it's time to change it up a little bit. And Chris took him up on it.
Gentlemen. You're losers, and you know it. So hit the road. Gentlemen, time to go cry in the limo with the sound guy. Get your and get the out of here.
I would like to see him use all of those on The Bachelor going forward, wouldn't you? One of the longest running bits on Kimmel's late night show is This Week in Unnecessary Censorship. Now, this is where they bleep words as if they are swear words, even though they don't need it at all.
2-year-old grandson has a longer... than Donald Trump.
America is no longer leading, but rather from behind.
Open your mouth wide and I will
Okay. And finally, Allie, you're going to be very excited from the Conan O'Brien show. They did a bit called Young Han Solo Audition Tapes. As you know, they're making a Han Solo movie. They already cast the actor for it. But what about the people who applied for it but didn't get it? And it's everybody from Bill Hader to Jodie Foster. And I think in this clip, trying to play Han Solo is Melissa McCarthy herself.
You ever heard of the Millennium Falcon? It's a ship that made a Kessel Run in less than 12 parsnips.
It's parsecs.
Parsnips is funnier. Anybody knows what a parsec is? Parsnips, they're going to be like, what?
Have you seen Star Wars?
I've seen a good portion of one of them. With a small wizard boy. He uses a lightsaber all the time.
Saber.
What?
Lightsaber.
You get out. Great kid.
Don't be cocky.
No.
You suck. You suck. This whole show sucks. How about this?
Tears down the set.
Melissa McCarthy cannot not be funny. I'm sorry.
I love her.
She's just great. You can see all these videos, including old people, average age 86, recreating the Taylor Swift Shake It Off video. And that's pretty funny as well. All these are at KROQ.com and KevinandBean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Wake up! And watch the Internet Roundup!
Yeah. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Smell it.
Jim Rome coming up on sports.
Come on, lady.
That seemed inappropriate to me as well, by the way. Jim Rome Talk Sports coming up right after 8, then Dr. Drew at 9. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Hey, Ralph.
Hey. Sad news.
Uh-oh.
Chief David Bald Eagle is dead.
Chief David Bald Eagle.
You heard me. More than 40 films during his lengthy lifetime. Most famously appeared with Kevin Costner in the Oscar-winning 1990 film Dances with Wolves.
Tatanka.
Oh, he was Tatanka.
He wasn't Tatanka.
He was saying Tatanka.
Tatanka is a buffalo, dumbass.
That's not the guy's name.
He was Mr. Tatanka. He was the buffalo. He was the animal roaming the plains.
Yeah, that one was on me.
You think? No, he was the chief.
Right.
Dances with Wolves ends up with.
Right.
Tatanka
teaches him the ways.
Played the buffalo, right?
What a life this guy led.
He was super old then. When that movie was made, he was super old.
He passed away yesterday at the age of 97 years old.
Wow.
Pretty good movie career, 40 films, as I mentioned, but also served in the Army during World War II when he fought in the landings at Anzio in Italy. And he won the Silver Star. He also parachuted into Normandy during the D-Day invasion in 1944.
Wow.
What a life.
After the war, he went to Hollywood, where he trained several stars in horse and gun handling, including John Wayne was one of his pupils. And he was the face of South Dakota's Lakota people for many, many years. Grandson of Chief White Bull, who fought in the Battle of Little Bighorn in 1876. He had a great Native American lineage. So, that guy makes everyone else look just like a loser.
Yeah.
He just did it all.
Yep. He did.
And then he gets to pass away at 97, so it's a pretty good run.
Life well lived. Half man, half buffalo, right?
No. Nope.
Yeah, sure.
The Who.
The Who?
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Is what I'm saying.
Is there a story related to The Who?
Yes, they have given up touring. They've announced they won't be doing big tours anymore. Of course, they're only really half a band now. They got two guys left. They got Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey, the singer. But that's pretty much
who
all
cares?
You,
aren't they two, the two most important
The Who,
ones?
Really? Yeah, pretty much. But it doesn't mean they're not retiring. They're just going to stop touring. For instance, they have just announced an acoustic performance of Tommy. You know Tommy, of course, right? Tommy,
sure.
Kevin,
Tommy, the musical.
Rock opera,
right.
Sure.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Plays a mean pinball at Tommy.
Pinball Wizard, you know that song? That
sure.
Came from Tommy. See me, feel me, hear me, touch me, smell me.
Oh, I don't think
smell me was in there.
I don't remember all the lyrics. Anyway, they're going to be performing it live on stage at the Royal Albert Hall in London. And here's the rest of the cast. You got Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey as part of the cast of Tommy. Other roles will be played by these losers. Sir Paul McCartney.
Whoa. Jeez.
Coldplay. Ed Sheeran, The Cure, Paul Weller, Noel Gallagher.
Come on!
Wow.
That's your cast for Tommy.
When?
Not Amy Winehouse.
She will not.
Amy will not be appearing.
When is that, and are there tickets at all?
There'll be two performances. It's in the UK.
Two?
I don't care. I heard those names.
All right. March 30th and April 1st.
I can make it.
Okay. Have fun.
Thank you.
So,
that's amazing.
Yeah, that should be a pretty cool thing. Hopefully someone is rolling cameras on that. We'll be able to see a video or something of it, because that would be pretty cool to watch.
April. Kevin, you probably never saw the Tommy movie.
April 1st, by the way.
And March 30th,
though. No, I did not.
And March 30th.
Oh, you're thinking they're going to get everybody there and then just not show up, Kevin? Is that what you're guessing?
That would be pretty funny.
What would lead you to believe that that's what's going to happen?
That's what we...
Just the date.
Just the date.
Right, just the date makes you think that they're going to announce that lineup of people and then just not show for people. You think that would be some sort of funny joke.
for that to happen.
It wouldn't be funny for the people who went, but
for
everybody
also a benefit
else.
For the Teenage Cancer Trust there in the UK.
Well,
which
you didn't say that.
For teenage cancer victims.
Why would they do that to those teenagers?
So now
with cancer?
It's a hilarious joke.
You didn't
just
say that.
Just a big ha
part.
Ha on everybody.
Kevin, God damn it.
God damn it. And congratulations to Tom Hiddleston. Tom Hiddleston.
Did he get away? Did he escape?
No, he's still under the watchful eye of Tadoff Switler.
By the way, Bean taking our side for one
yeah, that
second.
Was weird. Yeah.
Did he get away? Did he escape?
Because he knows now. Now he knows the truth that she's a lying liar who lies and a racist and a farter.
Hold on.
Now he knows that he must be on the right side of history.
I still love Taylor, but I feel like ever since he was wearing the I Heart TS t-shirt in the surf that day, I feel like he is a prisoner. I feel like he is under some sort of weird mind control, and it's not voluntary, and that makes me uncomfortable.
Well, he just won a big prestigious award in Britain this week. Rear of the Year.
Oh.
Rear of the Year is given to the best naked ass in Britain in film and television. So congratulations.
Is it butt stuff?
It is butt stuff, yes. He won it for his work showing off his butt in The Night Manager.
Oh, okay.
So congratulations to Tom Hiddleston, Britain's Rear of the Year. Rear of the Year.
What's that trophy like, I wonder?
I like booty.
I'm guessing it's two big fleshy cheeks of gold.
Yeah.
The cheeks of gold, it's referred to often in the UK.
Booty, a man's butt.
So I heard you won the cheeks of gold this year. Yeah, I did. It's an ashtray. You put out your cigarette right in the centre.
Oh, no.
There's a little hole there. It snuffs out.
We don't need to see the visual.
Snuffs out your ciggy.
I think it helped. No?
Mm-mm.
Today's celebrity birthdays. UFC celebrating. President Dana White is 47 years old today. And Cain Velasquez, one of their premier fighters, is 34 years old. Jacoby Shaddix of Papa Roach is 40. Elizabeth Berkley, remember her from Saved by the Bell. I'm so excited.
I'm so scared.
Right?
Come on.
Kevin.
The best.
You don't know, man.
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't.
Oh, really?
44 years old today.
It's the best episode ever.
Of?
Saved by the Bell. Okay. She was taking these pills
to
give her
pills. Energy.
Come on, Kevin.
Kevin.
She had a breakdown.
We're talking to you.
Right, but what do you want from me?
I want to hear that sounds great. I will correct my lapse in knowledge immediately.
Who gives a damn?
Wow.
Lori Loughlin's 52 years old today, and rapper Afro Man is 42. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
He is the host of the Jim Rome Show at jimrome.com, and he joins us at this time every week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Romy. How are you?
Best day of my life. Best day of my life. What's up, guys?
Well, it's great to have you on, and I'm really glad to have you today because I got to confess, maybe this has been talked about before, but I just missed it. When I saw the headline yesterday, Steve Ballmer exploring sites for new Clippers arena, I was so surprised by that because in my mind, the Staples Center is only 15 years old. It's a state-of-the-art place to play basketball. What's up?
It is a state-of-the-art joint, but when you throw down the kind of money that he did for the Clippers, he didn't do so he could shack up with the Lakers and the Kings. That's not what that guy's about, right? He wants his own joint. He wants his own suites. He wants his own revenue. And most of all, he wants all the crazy high-tech gadgets necessary to get people out of their living rooms and into his new crib. So it's not surprising to me that he wants his own space. What is surprising is where it might go. On the west side. They're talking about dropping a crib on the west side.
Where?
Exactly. I mean, how awesome would that be? But exactly where are you going to put that thing? Wilshire, Beverly Glen, Bundy, Brentwood, Mar Vista. I don't know where you put it, but you guys know how real estate is, right? Doesn't it cost like 200 grand a square foot
pretty much,
to build there? And this guy wants 20,000 seats? Yeah, I don't know. I like the idea of the Bel Air Clippers, all even slum it with the Brentwood Clippers, but who's going to be able to afford something like that?
What's the lease situation like at Staples Center? Isn't he dialed in there for a number of years?
What a great question. Yeah, I wouldn't get all hyped on this yet because they're in a lease until 2024. So they could move in before then. And then again, guys, let's be real. What are the chances that either one of you guys were even alive then?
Well, I'm hoping we're going to be alive. It's only 8 years from
now. No, very low. Very low.
Come on, let's be real. 2024.
Yeah, let's be
real. There's a coin flip's chance that I'll be in the dirt by then, too. So let's not get all hyped on it. But the notion of a West Side arena is pretty amazing to me. But it's going to take some time.
It is part of the trouble, the scheduling, too, is that basically the Lakers and the Kings kind of get first choice, and then the Clippers have to pick up whatever's left?
Hey, look, it's something like that, right? But we've all had roommates. It kind of sucks living with somebody else. And if you're going to pay $2 billion for something like that, do you want to share a house? I don't want to be the one kicking it on the couch for $2 billion. This guy's his own dude. He wants his own joint. I can't say that I blame him. Put it on Bundy, Ballmer. Hey, by the way, guys, does this sound like a guy who's not going to be able to get what he wants?
Nope. I was not ready.
Look at that dude.
I love this company. Yeah!
That guy's going to share his crib with somebody else.
No, you're right. I will tell you that sound clip scared the crap out of me.
Well, there you go, man.
Jump through the roof.
You never know what you're going to get from JimRum.com.
That's for sure.
Go Ducks.
All right. New topic. I missed this segment on your show this week, but Kevin, you heard Jim frothing at the mouth over something that surprised you. What did you hear?
Here's the thing. I had never thought about it this way, but Jim was talking about the NFL and Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning and the different ways that they were handling it. And I never thought of it this way before I heard you, Jim, talking about it, I think, on Tuesday.
You both are talking about me like I'm not in the same room with you right now. Yeah, so Jim was doing this, and Jim did that. No. All right, so we've got Manning and Brady, right? Fair to ask, why did Brady and Deflategate and that investigation go on for what felt like 10 years and play out publicly, yet the Manning investigation lasted like 10 minutes, and almost everybody forgot that it was actually going on? It's kind of strange, right? What's the difference? So it seems like they spent a lot of time investigating a guy who might have been generally aware of a couple of knuckleheads who may have leaked some air out of a few footballs, as opposed to a guy that may have taken performance-enhancing drugs.
And had one of the best seasons of his life.
Right. It doesn't make much sense. So why was it that they spent that much time on Brady and the Pats and seemingly not that much time on Manning and the Broncos? I don't know. Maybe it's because a lot of people thought the Pats already were cheating, and then they came after the team and put a lot of pressure on the commissioner, I should say, to make that thing work. I don't know. It's just not one and the same. It seems to me if a guy is doing roids, allegedly, that's a lot worse than a guy leaking a little bit of air from a football or two, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Now, let me ask this question, and again, I may be coming from a place of ignorance because you know a lot more about both of these cases than I do, but does it have something to do possibly with the Patriots fought every step of the investigation with the NFL and the Broncos cooperated along the way? Could that have been part of it?
If you mean does it have something to do with it, meaning does it have everything to do with it, yes. I mean, so Brady's not turning over his phone, and he's pushing back, and he's fighting, so had something to do with it.
He gave all of the emails, Allie, and text messages. He didn't give the phone, and none of us would either, let's be honest.
I think there's something to that. If somebody comes to me and says, hey, give me your phone, part of me would say, hey, it's my phone. I'm not going to let you in my phone. But the flip side of that is if you have nothing to hide, won't you turn the phone over? And you might say it's the principal.
No.
I don't know. Look, the other thing is, how about this? Brady is still really good and capable of doing a lot of damage to a lot of teams right now, and all of a sudden Manning is retired. Why would the other owners care about Manning when he's already retired? He can't hurt them anymore. And on top of that, one more conspiracy theory. How about the NFL? Do you really think they want to ruin the Golden Boy's perfect story on the way out the door? Probably not.
Especially when he'll have a job with the NFL within 5 years.
Well, a job with the NFL or maybe own his own team. Mm-hmm. And
right.
I don't
exactly.
think they want Golden Boy number one and Golden Boy number two both tarnished and dinged.
I thought it was fascinating that you brought up whether Peyton did it or not is irrelevant. That story should have been a bigger story even than Tom Brady.
Let's be clear about that. I have no idea whether this guy voided or not. I just know that if you're going to investigate both these guys for different things, and the Manning thing seems even more important, wouldn't you hit it with the same intensity, go about it the same way? Because clearly they didn't.
That's a great point. Jim Rome on the line with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, JimRome.com. Finally, it's sort of sports related. Jordan Rodgers has been a contestant, or at least was until recently, on The Bachelorette on ABC.
No, he's still in.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He's one of the final two?
Absolutely.
I thought he was such a loser.
He is.
Well, they're all losers if they're on the show, right?
But every time, Jim, somebody brings up Aaron on the show, you could see on his face he's uncomfortable. He doesn't want to talk about it. Either he has no relationship with this guy or the whole family doesn't have a relationship with this guy. Aaron Rodgers seems to be a persona non grata for the rest of the Rodgers family, and I didn't know what that was about, and I guess apparently somebody finally asked Aaron about it?
It's so awesome. Look, I don't really know what's going on with that family. I've dealt with Aaron. A few years back, I actually had Jordan on my radio show before he was drafted, and Aaron literally texted me right afterwards and said, listen, thank you very much for putting my little bro on the show.
Really?
And he didn't know about it. He had nothing to do with it, but he somehow knew that I'd interviewed his brother, and he was all about it, like, thank you very much. That's going to help him. So
wow.
At least at that time, they were good. So I don't know what's going on right now, but you're right. Aaron is all about keeping it about football. He's not about the personal stuff. So when finally somebody ran it back to him, what do you think about little bro talking dish about you and the family on TV? Aaron said, quote, as far as those kinds of things go, I've always found that that's a little inappropriate to talk publicly about some family matters. So I'm not going to speak on those things, but I wish him well in the competition. End of quote. Straight fire. I wish him well in the competition. You mean that dating show where my little bro hangs with a bunch of bags on national TV and capitalizes on my name? You mean that competition? Oh, dude, he's pissed. And I would be, too.
Jim reads between the lines sure and brings his own sound effects, ladies and gentlemen.
About that.
That's
fire.
Well done. Nine to
Good
noon.
Good luck with your little competition, bro.
Nine to noon, weekday mornings at JimRome.com, the great Jim Rome. Have a super week, man. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks.
No, you won't, legend. See you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Okay, bye. If you fear you are addicted to Pokemon Go, we may have some help for you. We're going to talk to Dr. Drupinski about that just after 9:00.
I don't want to help any of those people. Pokemon Rehab. I'm opening one up. It's a matter of time. People are going to need it. I'm going to cash in.
Kevin, you want all the Pokemon Go people to just fall off a cliff.
No, I feel like the ones that fall off the cliff were good without them.
Okay.
That's
right.
A thin the herd moment, which will help us.
Changing topics briefly. Tonight is the final night of the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. How do you guys rate it so far in terms of entertainment value compared to last week, the Republicans in Cleveland?
Ooh, entertainment value. Define entertainment, because the RNC was just an S storm, which was hilarious.
Uh-huh.
And this one is much more inspiring and hopeful in my mind.
I think that's what they're trying to do.
The speeches have been much more impressive, and you know, look, let's face it, Barack Obama's no Chachi. But come on, they did okay. They did okay last night, I thought. No Scott Baio, but pretty good.
The president's speech last night was wonderful. The only thing I will tell you that has been a little bit of burr in the saddle for Hillary Clinton this week has been the Bernie Sanders supporters, who I even noticed last night have still not given up. The ones that are still there, the ones that haven't quit and gone home because their man didn't get the nomination, are still there booing at certain moments.
Silenced. They've been silenced.
Yes. And you're still hearing some Bernie, Bernie, Bernie chants. And at what point, Ralph, do they go, hey, you know what? We love Bernie, and he ran a great campaign, but he didn't win the nomination.
They are the loudest, silenced group of people I've ever heard in my life, by the way.
You saw something. I didn't see this episode with Seth Meyers, but you saw something that stuck out to you the other day, Ralph.
Yeah, it's been bugging me since the beginning of the convention that the Bernie supporters, and look, God love him, and I like Bernie Sanders, and I like what he stands for, and the movement is great, and I think it's made a real difference in the political conversation. All those things are good, but at some point you have to say, okay, we didn't get our way, but better luck next time. Let's channel our energies maybe into, I don't know, dealing with the bigger problem at hand.
But for a lot of people, it doesn't seem like there's that next step. Seems like they're hung up.
Because it's not about the big picture anymore. It's about them. It's about we didn't get our way, so now I'm going to be just cranky pants about it. That's what it seems like. And so Seth Meyer addressed it on his late night show, which I thought was really, really well put together what he said.
We put this up on the Kevin and Bean Twitter and Kevin and Bean Facebook as well. This is Seth Meyers.
Look, I know you're Bernie or bust, but the results are in. Bust one. We don't have time for this. Donald Trump is ahead in the polls. The house is on fire. Stop crying because we're not putting it out with your hose. Hey, pay attention. We are on the cusp of electing a racist demagogue, and that never ends well. I don't know which class you ditched to go to those Bernie rallies, but I have a feeling it was history. I get disappointment. I couldn't get Rihanna to go out with me, but I don't stand in the kitchen and boo my wife. Bernie did a great job. You did a great job. Your passion changed the Democratic Party, and that is no small thing. You should be proud of yourselves for his campaign, but also you have to be quiet now. Now is the time to be quiet.
That's funny. All right, let me throw this out there just to be devil's advocate.
All right.
And if we do have any Bernie or bust people, by the way, who refuse to vote for Hillary Clinton, I would like to hear from them. I think we would have time to include them.
Absolutely.
At 1-800-520-1067.
Sure.
But here's my question to you, Rob. What if Hillary is everything you hate about politics, and that's what attracted you to Bernie Sanders, is because here you have a guy who's completely transparent and a guy who is speaking to truth in a way that politicians haven't been in a long time about how corrupt our system is and how mm-hmm. bought and paid for both sides are. Mm-hmm. And you have a guy who's coming out who's just saying all the things you've been waiting to hear. Don't you feel like – can you understand how somebody would feel like, I can't – violate and turn my back on those principles and vote for this person who I think is the embodiment of everything Senator Sanders is against.
In any other given election or situation, I would say that's a reasonable conclusion. But you have to look at the bigger picture. If you think Hillary Clinton is bad, then by definition, you would have to think that Donald Trump is unfit for office, is unelectable.
But if the money is your thing, at least you could point to Donald Trump and go, look, I may not like everything about him, but at least he's a guy who's paying for his own campaign and he's not beholden to all of these special interest groups that pay him $150,000 a speech.
If you're looking at that one issue and that's what you're basing the entire future of the country on, then you're a little short-sighted, I would think. You have mm-hmm. to expand your vision to think what's best for the country.
Do you think the Bernie or bust people look at
– blows. I get what they're saying. They're absolutely right. But there also comes a time where you have to grow up and you have to say, okay, we're going to make small changes, and you're not going to wave a magic wand. Even Bernie Sanders, if he got into office, wouldn't wave a magic wand and make it all right. You have to win. This is a war of attrition. This is incrementally, you have to make
very slow process,
small advances, and you have to stop with all the wishful thinking and get real at some point.
Do you think the Bernie or bust people look at Hillary and Donald basically the same?
So well, what difference does
well,
it make?
For,
I'm asking you a question because
I think some do. I think some do. I think some. I think they look at Bernie as being this thing, and almost everybody else being a completely different thing.
If
that
you are
not
focusing
in his league.
Solely on your issue, whatever's important to you, versus what's better for the country in general, then I think you're going about it the wrong way.
All right. What about? And this is a legitimate point from Angel, Ontario, line one. Let's see what he or she has to say. Angel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Doing great. What's your point on the Bernie or bust folks?
Well, basically, most people feel that Bernie Sanders supporters have been disenfranchised. They feel that Hillary Clinton has been given the Democratic nomination, and that's why they're so wholeheartedly against her. It's not that, oh, or boo-hoo, we lost, oh, that's it. It's more of, no, this was rigged. This was rigged in her favor. And
so it was maybe stolen. It was stolen from
because
Bernie.
Of the Wiki. When the WikiLeaks came out and we saw that there were people high up at the Democratic Party a long time ago who had already decided that Hillary was going to be the nominee, how do you then, if you're a Bernie Sanders supporter, turn around and vote for that woman who, in your mind, stole the election?
Yeah, exactly.
Or stole the nomination, rather.
Exactly. And the only way like the Hillary supporters are trying to get us to come around is saying, oh, Donald Trump, basically like – making us scared into vote, scaring us into voting for Hillary Clinton, which is what they're not.
No, but the Bernie or bust people are not for Hillary.
No, yeah, that's why. But the Hillary people are trying to get Bernie or bust people. Basically, the only argument we've been hearing is, oh, you don't want Donald Trump. You don't want Donald Trump. It'll give us another reason why we should support her.
Okay,
so
well,
what are you going to do
about the person? And think about the platform. Which party has more issues that are aligned with what your thoughts and feelings are about what's right and wrong?
Oh, of course, the Democratic Party.
Okay.
So how is it still a struggle, I guess, is Ralph's question, if that's your feeling? Because you can only vote for the two people who are running.
Well, no, we have a third party option. We have Gary Johnson, and then there's Jill Stein, and then But other people are writing in their votes in for Bernie in protest.
Well, you realize but none of those are viable options, right?
Yeah. I mean, Libertarian and Green are legitimate parties, but they don't affect this election except in case there are enough of those votes that stop one of the other two major candidates from winning.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's you got to understand that for most people, this is the better option for them. They just don't want Hillary Clinton. Of course, they're not going to vote for Trump. They're with Bernie's ideals. They'll never vote for Trump.
But doesn't every election come down to holding your nose and voting for the one that's least offensive?
To most people, yeah. But I guess, I don't know, I feel like we got to a point where these people have said that enough is enough, you know?
Okay. Angel, we got to go. We got a bunch of other calls, but I really appreciate you taking the time to dial in today. All right? 1-800-520-1067. Bernie or bust people. We want to talk to you next on K-Rock. Talking to the Bernie or bust folks this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. These are people who still love Bernie Sanders so much they refuse to vote for anybody else, or they won't make a choice between the two from whom we are likely to choose our next president. Here's what Bill Maher had to say to Bernie or bust folks.
But I feel I should say something about a growing movement called Bernie or Bust, where Bernie supporters pledge that if it's Hillary, they'll stay home or vote for the Green Party. On their website, they say they're revolting against the plutocracy. No, actually, you'll be helping elect a plutocrat who's revolting.
Yeah. So the question is, are they accomplishing what they're trying to accomplish? And the answer is, I can't know.
Well, they have, I think, right? By the sense of it was a great campaign that raised up a lot of important issues, but not this time. That's just the fact of it. It sucks. You didn't get what you wanted. I understand that. But at the same time, you need to recognize the real world.
You say that, Ralph, because you haven't heard from Joseph in Glendale on line 7 yet.
All right.
He's going to turn you around. He's going to tell you why voting for Bernie now is the way to go.
Okay.
Joseph.
Yes, sir.
You're going to vote for Bernie.
Well, I mean, for me, it's basically two sides of the same coin. Every 4 years, we have to choose lesser of the two evils. Lesser of the two evils.
Right.
Enough of the evil. We're still choosing evil. We're
right.
We're trying to go a different route. Why we choose something that's completely different? I should choose.
All right. How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that now?
How are you going to go a different route? How are you going to break the cycle?
Well, I think it just has to start small. Maybe it can show like a 50% vote for Bernie this year. And in 4 years, maybe that vote can go up to 30% for somebody else. And kind of actually choose a third party that's going to make a difference instead of doing the same thing every 4 years, same thing over and over again.
Okay, what happens while the country's burning to the ground while you're doing that process?
It's going to burn to the ground no matter what. Hillary and Trump are the same exact thing.
No, they're not. They're just simply not.
They really are.
Same exact
thing. Hillary will tell you one thing, will do something completely different, while Trump will tell you exactly what it is, but it's still evil.
I can't argue with either of those statements, by the way. So you're willing to – you don't care which – I think I'm understanding what you're saying. You don't care which one of them wins because in your mind they're the same. So you might as well make a statement at the ballot box in November by writing in Bernie Sanders.
Exactly. But I think eventually that will make a difference.
Does that make a difference, Joseph?
In maybe 4 years and maybe 8 years and maybe 12 years. Yes, I think eventually it will make a difference because we're not going anywhere with these two guys.
I hope we get to 12 years.
All right, so it would make a lot more difference if you were careful about who you voted for much lesser offices than just trying to win the brass ring by getting your guy to be the president. Because a lot more effective change happens on lower levels, on state levels, on in the House and in the Senate than it even does with the president. Because look how the House and the Senate were able to block a lot of decisions and programs that Obama wanted to make over the past 8 years. So your focus can't solely be on I'm going to write in this guy for president. Somehow that's going to fix things. You have to work within the system, even though it sucks.
Yeah, no, working within your local government makes a lot more of a difference.
Right.
Okay, Joseph, glad you called. We got to move on, but thank you so much. We appreciate it. Let's go to line 6, please. This is out in Santa Monica, and it's going to be Tricia. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tricia, are you a Bernie or Buster?
I am.
Okay. All right. What do you got for us?
You know, honestly, I compare this to when I was young once. I went to the fair, and I really wanted cotton candy, and my cousin really wanted a candied apple.
Right.
And my uncle thought it was the same to get those two things and give me the candied apple and give him the cotton candy, or give her the cotton candy. And the thing about that is it's really not at all the same. So voting for Hillary and voting for Bernie is not even close to comparable. I mean, I agree that Hillary is just part of the plutocracy, in maybe not to the same degree, but still, she's there right up there with Trump.
So instead of the cotton candy or the candied apple, you're going to get a corn dog.
I like corn dogs.
I love corn dogs. But the corn dog is not going to help in this election.
I hate candied apples. No, I mean, the main thing is, okay, we're in California. It's not like at the end of the day, California is going to go to Trump. So I feel fairly safe in voting for Bernie. If I was in a swing state, it might be a different situation because, of course, no one wants Hitler. But at the same time, that's not what's going on.
I think saying your vote in California is a cop-out. I think a lot of people say that, and I still think it's a cop-out.
Why? How come, Ellie?
It does matter. All of this matters in the long run. Because I can guarantee...
Of course it matters, because this is my way of saying I don't support her. From the very beginning, we've been told, Bernie's not going to win, vote for her. Bernie's not going to win, vote for her. And I know dozens of people who believed that so early on.
Right, but now that's absolutely true.
Well, no, I get that. But at this point, my vote for Bernie, and specifically not for her, is to say, fine, I get it. You guys have rigged the entire system. I'm not going to fall for that. I'm not going to make that choice and say, you know what? They told me that I can only vote for her or Trump, so I'm going to vote for her. I don't support anything that she does. The way that she is as a politician, I mean, sure, she's not completely insane like Trump is, but at the same time, the way that she... Just the way that she does what she does.
She's awful. I don't think any of us are arguing that we're excited about Hillary Clinton. That's not the question here. The question is, what do you do when you're a Bernie person and you've got these two options left, one of whom is going to be the next president? Don't you just – you have to say – like
Bernie,
Ralph said at the beginning, you have to say, yeah, what about what Bernie says?
Does what he says matter, or do you think he's just rolling over?
No, I mean, I think that what he says does matter. And I mean,
well, he's telling you to vote for Hillary.
Yeah, I get that.
No, yeah, he absolutely is. He said those words.
No, but that's to the generic nation. I get that.
Oh, not to you. You're waiting for him to call you personally and tell you what to do.
So many of these
people make it about them and not about the election and not about the country. It's about their own chapped-assed feelings, and that's why they're stamping their feet and holding their breath.
It's not at all about that feeling.
Okay, it's not about that. Go ahead. Explain how.
It's my vote, and I have a choice on what I want to vote for, and I don't support her. At the end of the day, when I make that vote, I'm saying I support her.
Patricia, like Ali asked, if Bernie, who, by the way, no one wants to be president more than Bernie does, if he's willing to say, okay, good race, but we lost, please support Hillary Clinton, why aren't you?
Because I don't live in a swing state.
Okay.
And you know, in this world of the cult of personality where everybody makes it about the person, you hate Hillary Clinton, that's fine. But what about the Democratic Party platform? Is there any part of that that resonates with you?
Very, very little, because honestly, they're going about it in the same way. It's about wealth. Everything at this point is about wealth. It's about people becoming more and more disenfranchised and the loss of the middle class. And these are not...
Okay, but how about women's rights and gay rights and immigration and the economic theory? I mean, do you pay attention to any of that?
Yes, I do. I very much do.
And do your side align more with Democratic or with Republicans?
Oh, most certainly Democratic. Not a question. Most certainly.
Okay. But at least you're not going to make sure there's a Democratic president.
Right. At least you're not concerned about that.
All right. We got to go, Tricia. That's all the time we have. I thank you very much for the call.
We've
got a lot of very passionate Bernie people. Let's give Sarah Silverman the last word, shall we?
To the Bernie or bust people, you're being ridiculous.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53. If you would like a pair of tickets to see the LA Galaxy play the Colorado Rapids at StubHub Center, this game is August 13th. We'll take the first two callers right now, 1-800-520-1067. LA Galaxy against the Colorado Rapids. Good luck.
Dreams come true, guys.
Right? Dr. Drew joins us right after 9. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, it's very exciting. I have an update to a question that's been asked by a lot of Kevin and Bean listeners for a long time now.
Oh.
Which is, what happened to Derek Waters saying to Bean that he could be on Drunk History? About getting Bean drunk and putting him on Drunk History. Because Bean desperately wants to tell the story of Clyde Tombaugh discovering Pluto.
Yes, I do. That would be an excellent episode.
He's willing to...
Maybe that's the issue.
He's willing to get drunk for the first and only time in order to tell that story.
Derek right. Waters came in between seasons 2 and 3, and we discussed it, and he appeared to be very interested. And by the way, to be fair, I gave him a backup story, which was I would be willing to do the wreck of the Evan Fitzgerald as well. I would do either one of those stories.
No wonder he's not ever going to call you.
And
you have the worst stories
like,
ever.
Because like
he's nice. No, he's just he's being
yeah,
nice
he's
to
a kind
somebody
man.
In the room. You invited him into your home. He was being a good guest. And then when he left, he said, no effing way will that ever happen.
All right. Well, since
so
you Bean have an
keeps
update.
Keeps bringing up and saying, oh, well, I haven't called. I'm surprised they haven't called yet. Oh, this is strange. I expected a call by now.
So I assume you have an update on what date I'll be filming my episode.
That's not what the update is. This is Derek Waters at San Diego Comic-Con doing the drunk history panel. They're over there in the Indigo Ballroom. Across the street in the Hilton, and they were having a panel, and somebody in the audience is as deluded as Bean into thinking this will ever happen. And I think we have the definitive answer.
My question is, there was rumors of doing an episode with Bean Baxter as the narrator, and something happened. I guess it fell through. Is that something that is going to be pursued for?
It's so crazy that this always comes up. It's Kevin and Bean show from New LA. Bean doesn't drink, and it seems like I don't want him in the show. No, I don't want anyone on the show that doesn't drink. So it seems like those two get so mad at me that I haven't put him on, but why would I do that? What if he becomes an alcoholic after the show? Who will be the asshole then? It's me twice. But, that's the reason why Bean will not be on the show. Unless he starts drinking, he can... Send me a text.
Here's a text. All right.
There
so there's
go.
There's your path forward, Bean.
Right.
And you're living in New Orleans.
You want to be in the show? Start drinking like
start
a person.
Start drinking.
Be a real person, maybe, and then they'll think about you.
I guess it's time to start throwing back those hurricanes, huh?
Props to that guy for asking that question
That's
for
amazing.
The whole crowd.
Props to
Derek
Waters,
sir, whoever you are.
Giving the straight answer.
Props to him as well.
Yeah. So exasperated.
That makes me love Derek Waters even more.
Oh, this again with this guy. He's had an ass full of you.
Guys, it's going to be such a hot episode, though.
No, it's not, Bean.
Best case scenario. What's the upside?
Did we
hear the story about Clyde Tombaugh stitching together a telescope made out of a Buick or something and finding the freaking Pluto?
Pluto, yes.
But zero people care about that.
That's untrue. That's complete. Pluto is the most popular planet in the solar system.
It's not a planet, first of all.
Well, first of all, it is. It's a dwarf planet, but it's still a planet. Much like a micro penis is still a penis.
Wow.
Well, I appreciate that listener asking, and I'll start drinking every day at noon then.
I like it.
Start drinking every day at 6.
Yeah.
If you're committed, get up and start drinking.
Can you imagine Bean as an alcoholic?
Oh, it'd be so much easier to deal with.
Do you think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or would it make it worse?
Oh, I just imagine that rod would just fly right out of his butt.
I don't
after
know.
Some
I think
cocktails.
He'd be a mean drunk.
You think?
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. I don't think that would be a good mixture.
No.
Like Ralph, when Ralph drinks, he gets funnier and funnier.
Ralph is hilarious as a drunk.
Yeah.
But, hilarious.
But I believe
Bean would
Kevin
go the
just
other
gets
way.
More he gets more Kevin like when he drinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that doesn't help anyone. But
how about you, Allie? What do you like drunk?
I am very happy and I want to hug the hell out of you.
Okay.
All right.
Well, so far so good. We got a pretty good room.
Except for
Bean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know he would. He'd get all pissy and cruel and start cutting people down. And
you guys don't have any idea.
We know. We know exactly what would happen.
We do.
I think your face is ugly. And he'd throw up on your shoes. He'd be the worst. Worst drunk
ever. The worst drunk ever.
Yeah. How does your face feel? That's killing me. A lot of drunken wordplay and stuff.
That is awesome, Derek Waters.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Cain Velasquez is 34 years old today. Speaking of the UFC, the president of that very same organization, Dana White, also celebrated.
Now, he's on the Trump train. He spoke at the convention last week.
Yeah, there you go. We're up there with the Duck Dynasty and Chacha.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
47 years old today. Afro Man is 42. Jacoby Shaddix from Papa Roach turns 40 years old today. Lori Loughlin from Full and Fuller House is 52. And Elizabeth Berkley. Oh, Elizabeth Berkley. Of course, Showgirls is a legendary feature film, but let's not forget her body of work as Jesse Spano on the classic TV series Saved by the Bell. Last hour, we made a reference to Elizabeth Berkley And the classic episode where she was taking all those pep pills. Remember those pep pills?
Yes.
Because she was studying and wanted to sing in the group, and she couldn't do it all. So she had to keep her energy up by using drugs. I'm sure it was like caffeine, but still, she was hooked on drugs. Thank God Zach Morris was there to confront her and slap those pills right out of her hands.
Pills? You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them, Zach. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Jesse.
Wow.
The best in her bedroom, and she's just singing and flailing her arms.
Yeah.
Oh, thank
Overacting
God.
Is a serious condition that affects 3 in 100,000 Americans.
How dare you?
If you or someone you know has an overacting problem, call 1-600-OVERACT and get help.
How dare you?
Right?
It was magic.
Don't do drugs, kids, or else you'll sing the Pointer Sisters badly. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursday mornings about this time, we welcome our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky onto the program. He, of course, the host of his show on HLN, weekday afternoons at 4, and, of course, with Mike Catherwood every afternoon on KABC. How are you, Doc?
I'm great, Bean, and it's such a privilege to be here again today reporting to you about the end of the world.
The end of the world.
Another reason the world's going to unravel.
That's you know we love that.
I know that. Yeah, I know that's why you have me on.
Yes.
So here we are.
What is your fear about what will cause the end of the world this time around, Doctor?
My fear is that air traffic controllers and pilots and people operating vehicles other than Tesla will begin the Pokemon Go craze, and we'll all just start crashing into each other the way we do.
We're not going to have time for the sound effects today, Kevin. I'm sorry. Right. I will tell you that when Pokemon was introduced...
What are you talking about?
When Pokemon was introduced in America a couple of Thursdays ago, I think it was about 48 hours before I saw the first report of a distracted driver accident because somebody was playing the game while they were behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah, and lots of reports of people, pedestrians, bumping into each other, walking off curbs, walking in front of traffic, falling off cliffs. And these are not spurious. I mean, people are doing this. The game, for some people, is engrossing. The bizarre question, though, is why?
Why, and, Dr. Drew? Why?
I think it has something, because I played it the other day, got a Charmander. Anyway.
oh, no.
Nerd.
Well, I couldn't go for the Squirtle because I know Mike Catherwood would never give up.
Oh,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So,
I don't like what you're saying, but I hear it.
So, yeah.
I feel like Mike was using the word Squirtle before Pokemon was ever invented.
Long before, and then a whole series of visual text that came with it.
Sure.
But anyway, it hooks you. You know, it's immediate, and it's right there in the environment. It's sort of like... It's kind of sort of through the looking glass feel, like I'm in my world, but I'm able to move through the looking glass into this magical world that we could all access, but it's here it is. There's fantasy all around me. And they hook you by giving you a reward early, like there's proximity, and then there's a little further out, and they hook you again, and then they have you moving even further out. And there are various rewards along the way that I either accidentally or intentionally or seemingly diabolically timed to really sort of almost classically condition you to the behavior.
Mm. Oh, my God. This is deeper than I thought.
It is. Now, Dr. Drew, you've talked many times over the years in your practice about people who become addicted to all sorts of things.
Yeah.
This is just like that. This is some sort of respite from real life for people. Somehow this virtual reality is more fun and more attractive and more satisfying than what they could be doing in the real world instead, right?
Well, in a way. I mean, it's kind of a dissociated state. It's a way of moving away from feeling states. And in my experience, people that really develop what we call a process addiction, that's sort of the heading for even things like gambling addiction, video game addiction, is usually they've got a pretty significant psychiatric problem. So it's that's unlike other addictions, which when you treat the psychiatric problems, the addictions continue. With these process addictions, very often when you treat the psychiatric problems, the process addictions settle down.
All right, let me ask you a question about a specific story. Two guys fell off a cliff because they were playing Pokemon Go. They had to cut through a fence that had giant warnings on it that said, cliff ahead, do not go here. So they cut the fence and they fell off the cliff. Aren't we better off?
Without Pokemon?
No, without those two guys.
Darwinism.
Well, this is just Darwin. This is just
thin
Darwin.
The herd, man. Thin the herd. Those two guys were going to accomplish nothing. Am I right?
You could argue social Darwinism, but I would argue that they're so disconnected. In other words, they're so in that fantasy world that they really aren't fully appreciating the consequences in the real world. And that's very much sort of a writ large version of the smaller things we're hearing about all the time, which is people bumping into each other. Now, my kids, who are sort of millennial age, they're absolutely apoplectic when I criticize the game because they say, no, you don't understand. People have been sitting on their butts playing these things forever. Now they're up, they're moving, they're interacting with other people, they're going to businesses, they're socializing. This is good. I think they have a point.
Sidebar, just for a second, Dr. Drew, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Guys, imagine being Dr. Drew's kids.
You know,
you're just trying to play a video. Just trying to play a video game, and freaking cool. Dr. Drew comes in and tells you why it's bad, right?
That's a prescription.
Right. Sort of suck.
I've been bumming their high for years.
Is there anything to the collection aspect of this? You know, when they say got to catch them all, is there some sort of thing that goes off in your brain where you go, I need a complete set. I can't stop now because there's one right around the corner. I got to get them all.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's the complete set so much as, yes, that kind of hoarding, collecting. I was a collector when I was a kid. One of my sons had that same genetic kind of quality.
What did you collect when you were a kid?
Oh, you're going to... Oh, man.
What?
Like fingernails?
Don't tell Mike, please.
Butterflies?
Seashells.
Like seashells?
Rare shells. Because I was way into the ocean.
What a dork.
I know. I still have it.
You do?
No. It's valuable. But
it's not valuable.
But how dare you? These are the products of nature. The goofy card that the man produced.
Oh, sure.
But my son collected all the Pokemon cards. Actually collected all of them.
Okay.
He has a full set. And so people like that, he and I, you do get this little dopamine charge. It is a reward mechanism that people who like to hoard and pull things in and collect things. We have a system whereby part of the brain called the nucleus accumbens, it's very involved in addiction, gets this little dopamine surge, and it really, and again, they've diabolically timed it, so guys like us, we feel that little like, oh, yeah, let's keep going. Let's get another one. Let's just get another one. It's just that right. Next one, and that's how they get you.
Let me ask for this advice then as we wind down here, and that is if you had parents that came to you today and said, my kid wants to start playing Pokemon Go, but I don't know if it's a good idea for him or her or not, what advice would you give it, or would that depend on the age of the kid?
It would depend on the age of the kid, certainly, but I don't think I would discourage it. I would
play the game.
I would keep an eye on it, that's all. And by the way, if the kid goes spiraling out of control, I would say, maybe there's something going on you didn't know about, so maybe you learned something.
Right. Fascinating stuff. Dr. Drew on HLN weekday afternoons, Monday through Thursday at 4 on the HLN channel. And then, of course, Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Catherwood, Monday through Friday from noon till 3 on KABC. And drdrew.com for all the podcasts that he does throughout the week. Always a thrill to have you on the show. Good luck with your seashell collection.
And my Pokemon.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:37.
Just gave away another pair of passes for the Suicide Squad screening, which is coming up on August 3rd. The movie opens everywhere on August 5th. Juan Ponce from Los Angeles won those tickets. Your chance to win coming up, and details at krock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, do you remember the good old days of MTV?
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you love them? Do you miss them?
No.
Yes, of course you do.
Yes.
A lot? Well, you'll be happy to hear that, you know, the cable channel VH1 Classic?
Sure.
They tend to show a lot of... concert films and things like that.
Okay. I like that channel.
Well, they're getting rid of it.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Sorry, Bean.
Oh, that break my heart.
You were very excited there for a second.
You got to be careful what you love. They're giving it the boot and rebranding it. Giving it a brand new name with a brand new look and a brand new attitude called MTV Classic.
Okay.
So the brand new attitude is the old attitude.
And they're going to show videos? That's what they're going to do?
Amongst other things.
Hmm.
They're going to air MTV Hour 1 to kick things off via Facebook Live on Monday, August 1st. So you get to see the very first hour of MTV ever, commercials and all. Sort of a kickoff for the network. But the rebranded network will also feature a throwback MTV lineup, including legendary MTV shows like... Well, name your favorite legendary MTV show ever.
TRL, obviously.
Kevin?
Don't have one.
Okay.
None.
Remote Control.
TRL, sure.
120 minutes?
He doesn't mention
any of those.
None of the ones we like.
Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead, you win, Chip.
Woo!
Nicely done.
Beavis and Butthead, MTV Unplugged. How about MTV Unplugged?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I like that.
How about Daria?
Good. Daria, sure.
Cribs. Jackass, Pimp My Ride.
Now, are you saying
The Real World, Beavis and Butthead, Laguna Beach, and Flux?
So just repeats of all of these shows. You're not talking about them making new versions of these shows, is what I'm saying. Just reruns.
Why do you have to?
Right.
I'm just looking for clarification.
This is why you shouldn't drink.
He started. No,
like ruin everything gonna, sober.
No, if they were
going
to do
new, they're going into the vault. They're going into the vault.
Okay. All right. That's fine. But it's not as exciting as if they were doing new Jackass, new MTV Unplugged, new 120 Minutes. That would be better.
It might be best if you just let it go. Okay.
But VH1 Classic, which showed, I don't know, Woodstock every third day, that was great for you. You loved that channel, but you don't want to see Aeon Flux or Beavis and Butthead or Daria back again.
It's fine.
I just think you're terrific. No good.
I think it's a great idea. For those people who want to see MTV Unplugged, they've missed those. You can get a marathon of some of those. The TRL Decade, a retrospective on All Total Request Live, and our boy Carson Daly. That's going
to Carson Daly's dead to me.
No
remote control,
and
though?
We're going to stop it.
Ugh. Not cool.
I don't know about remote control, Allie. I'm sorry I brought this all up. No, I really am.
That was a great show.
I thought it was a good story. That was a fun story. The people would enjoy hearing some of their favorite shows. It will be available to watch again, but I guess I was wrong. What do I know? F me.
I hate the past.
F me for bringing up something good.
What about Singled Out? Is that on there?
You know, since we're going to be electing a reality show star as president.
Ralph's losing the will to live working here.
Why not
and
make,
sad.
And I don't blame him.
Why not make one Surgeon General?
Look, sorry?
We already have Donald Trump as president. We're going to have Omarosa as Secretary of Black People.
That's
She's
right.
She's got her position on the...
Is that the official title?
I don't know. I don't know what cabinet title is exactly.
All right.
I believe it's Ambassador to Black People.
I think it's like African American outreach.
Okay.
Race relations.
Tomato, tomato.
Okay.
I don't think that's.
Khloe Kardashian as Surgeon General.
Why would you do that?
What?
What's happening?
Because she is a medical genius and she has all the best ideas.
What are you talking about?
She just released a statement on her app where she is telling people to put vitamin E oil on their vaginas. No joke.
Excellent.
No joke, she says. Vitamin E will strengthen your vaginal lining. Moisturize your labia and vagina with vitamin E oil to combat dryness and soothe irritation.
I don't need these words.
What's going on?
It is Dr. Khloe giving you the lowdown.
I don't sound sexy.
On the down low. See what I'm saying?
Get in my vagina.
Stop.
However.
Disgusting.
It turns out that her idea is not only silly, but is also a bad idea, according to doctors
who have
come forward and said, don't do that, ever. Don't do any of that, what she just said.
Turns out that isn't good for you.
Here's the best part. Vitamin E oil has been known to break down condoms.
So that would be
a drawback.
Wow.
First and foremost, studies have shown that lots of vitamin E can shorten your lifespan. The doctor who was responding to this call said, hey, if your vagina's fine, leave it alone, which I think is the best medical advice anyone can give you. If it's not, go see a doctor.
But don't take Khloe Kardashian's word for
it. Apparently don't take Khloe Kardashian's recipe for vitamin E vagina. Apparently that is not the way to go.
Sunshine on my
vagina
makes me happy.
Oh, that's more vitamin D. I'm sorry. I was confused there.
It's a beautiful song, though.
Kevin, that was gross, though. Why'd you say that?
I don't know where that came from.
Charlie's Angels is back.
Get in my vagina.
They are rebooting.
I don't know why I would have said that in the first
place. Legendary TV series, which ran for 5 seasons on ABC back in the day with Farrah Fawcett and Kate Jackson and Jacqueline Smith and the like. Then, of course, there was the rebooted franchise in feature films done in 2000 and 2003 with Drew Barrymore and Cameron Diaz and Lucy Liu. One of those films had Bill Murray in it. Until he said, I hate Lucy Liu and I won't work with her anymore. Well, they're bringing it back yet again for another feature film, a brand new Charlie's Angels movie, which will be directed by Elizabeth Banks this fall. According to Variety, they said Sony is currently getting a writer for the new movie. Well, why bother? Really, let's just put three hot chicks in bikinis in front of the camera and let them cavort.
Let them wing it.
No word on cast for the reboot yet, but I'm sure they will be lovely and talented and spectacular.
It could be good.
Of course.
Of course it could be. Don McLean. Familiar with Don McLean? Bye Bye,
sure.
Miss American Pie?
You come in and sing that song about three times a year.
One of the worst songs ever.
Once a year. I sing it on
his birthday.
At least
it's a month long.
By demand.
Or if Don McLean's in the news, you figure out a way to work it out.
I sing it once a year on his
birthday.
Nobody
demands that.
That's for sure. There is a high demand.
Zero.
The business line rings off the hook.
No, sir.
Please don't do it.
Well, he lost a gig recently because he pled guilty to domestic violence against his wife.
Oh, no.
He was supposed to open for Willie Nelson at the coveted Idaho Botanical Gardens Outlaw Field Show. But the promoter said, no, we don't really need that so much. Under the light of the recent guilty plea of domestic violence, we felt it would be in all parties' best interest to cancel Mr. McLean's opening slot on the show tonight. So, it was the day the music died for Don McLean, basically.
Nope.
And
sit down, right?
You will not be performing. So people will not get a chance to hear American Pie, and I feel badly for those people. So
you
what I'd like to do is give them a little taste of what they're missing out on.
Nope.
Please don't.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile.
That's a lot of words.
And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance.
Will
and
you stop
maybe
it with that?
They'd be happy for a while.
Survey says!
But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried I heard about his widowed bride. But something touched me deep inside.
Ew.
The day.
Stop it!
The music died.
Stop it, America!
And they were singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry.
Stop with your silliness.
Those good old boys are drinking whiskey and
you
rye.
Know he likes you, right?
Singing this'll be... This'll be the day that
I
die.
Okay. All right.
No way. Not ever.
Did you write the book of love?
Do you
above.
We get it.
And the Bible tells you so.
We get it.
And do you believe in rock and roll and can music
asshole
save your mortal soul? And
nope.
Can you teach me how not to dance
interested
real slow?
Nope.com.
He is a dick.
Yes.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Cain Velasquez of the UFC is 34 years old today. UFC president Dana White turns 47. Jacoby Shaddix from Papa Roach is 40 years old. Rapper Afro Man turns 42. Elizabeth Berkley, Jesse Spano herself from Saved by the Bell is 44 years old. And actress Lori Loughlin from Full and Fuller House, 52. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Take Ralph on your drive home today. Listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on K-Rock, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning at all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, so we have the movie beat. Should jousting be in the Olympics?
Hell yes.
Why does Bean think a 90-year-old dude masturbating at a public pool is, quote, adorable?
Obvious.
Keegan-Michael Key on the program tomorrow, and a trip for two to New York to see 21 Pilots at Madison Square Garden, courtesy of Suicide Squad.
I met a girl who sang
the
blues,
for the love.
And I asked her for some happy news.
Nope.
But she just smiled and turned away.
We need to move on.
I went down to the sacred store, where I'd heard the music years before.
Get in my vagina.
But the man...